Good morning. I'm Ann Goldin. Welcome to Your Health. And if you hear it in my voice, it's because I have a cold, which I rarely get, but I have it. Hopefully I won't cough. Today we're going to talk about pain, which I don't have any of. And my guest is Blair Cocking. She's an occupational therapist and certified hand specialist at Astoria Physical Therapy. Good morning, Blair.
Anne, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure as well. So pain is a signal from your nervous system that something is awry. There is new pain, acute pain, which is relatively less than 3 months, and then there's lingering pain, chronic pain, that's over that, and that's... that's pretty general and doesn't include a lot of aspects of it. But if we just cover it up, we may miss the signal of what that pain is trying to tell us. And in chronic pain, the problem actually may not be there anymore, but there's this signal. It's like an echo that keeps reminding us there may or there may not be actually something to treat except for how to make that signal quiet down. And you wanted to refer to a book called Explain Pain by David Butler, who's a an educator.
Right. He's a lecturer at Southern Australia University. This is a grand book. It's easy to read. He's an educator. His whole goal is to educate people about the underpinnings of pain. I recommend it for people who are with chronic pain, and I've recommended it to people who are suffering from awful things, like one of the few 10% survivors of an auto accident. I said that wrong. That only 10% of the people are thought to survive. Someone like that, who's really living with big chronic pain.
Well, also the trauma, the emotional trauma of survivor's guilt and, yeah, having been in such a traumatic event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it's right. I think acute pain, that's pretty easy, straightforward. You right. Whack your elbow and immediately sensors start bringing messages from your elbow to your spinal cord. The spinal cord opens up. It brings that sensation up to your brain and you say the most reasonable thing available. Ouch.
Right. And the next thing is... you grab the injured
right.
or the hurting place and
right.
rub it, which
right.
is great. You bring your own blood, you know, stimulate blood flow into the area. And often that's
efficient. And quells it.
Right.
So that's interesting. When we have this immediate ouch, this whack of the elbow,
right.
very thin, uninsulated nerve fibers are taking that message from the elbow to the spinal cord. The spinal cord functions like a gate. It opens up and there we go again. Ouch. And when you rub it, you're calling forth, you're summoning faster moving sensory fibers that are insulated and they rush ahead to that gate, cut it off to pain. And instead of pain, you have this wonderful, maybe a cool sensation. It just doesn't hurt. It just is, that's better.
Right. And I'm imagining that's exactly what happens when you put ice on it.
Exactly. Oh, that's better.
It turns nicer. Off that signal and cools everything down.
Right. What we've just described, I hope, is useful. It's that gate theory of pain that I think, Anne, came from the 50s, Melzack and Wall. A foundation theory about pain.
That could well be.
When you get to chronic pain, that gets more complex because there's more complex systems interacting. That elbow, we'll keep with the elbow idea because it's straightforward. that elbow is now maybe not used as much. Uh-huh. It's still been a problem. The muscles are deconditioned. There's tightness in that elbow.
And maybe you're not even moving the joint
because you're fearful. Mm-hmm. So there we go again. Electrochemical charges coming from that elbow going up to the brain. But the brain is now contributing its own electrochemical mechanisms. And what we're getting is fear. Fear like, oh, why was I so careless and bumped my elbow? I did it so bad. Or Harry bumped me and I'm mad at Harry for bumping me and making me bump my elbow. And all kinds of synapses from the brain. It's bringing forth its own chemical, electrochemical.
And one of the things that I hear from a lot of patients is now I'm afraid to use it. And so I'm thinking, oh, I better not lift.
Right.
I better not lift with that arm, you know, grab my coffee cup or pick up a book or whatever, because I don't want to aggravate it.
Right. So further the deconditioning. So it gets very complex.
Once, and then take it for years. You haven't used this. Now you haven't used your elbow for a year and a half.
Yeah. One of the standout pieces that I learned from reading this book was the value of sleep. People who don't sleep are unhappy people. And if your elbow hurts, you roll onto that elbow, it interrupts your sleep. Uh-huh. And then we've just put another log into the fire, and that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, just to illustrate this whole notion, it makes me think of a patient that I met up with. I was doing home health in a large city. And I came to this woman's house, and she probably had had an automobile accident, so she had been suffering in pain. She had surgery for it. She was probably hopeful, expectant, that the surgery would nullify her pain. It didn't. So in the 5-second interaction of initially meeting this woman, she says to me, I don't know what to do. I'm in a lot of pain. I've been in a lot of pain. I don't sleep at night. My boyfriend is no longer amorous with me. I've saved up all my pain meds, and I think I'm just going to take them all at once and be done with it in the first 5 seconds of meeting this woman. And I got very amped.
Good.
It got a little painful for me. And I and I said something ridiculous like, oh, I am so sorry that you're under all of this trouble. I got to go. I flew out of that house. This was before the day of cell phones. I found a phone. I got a hold of that doctor. This is so ridiculous. The doctor's name was Dr. Fink. That's a very lovely German, I think, name.
It is.
Tall-legged bird. I think that's the meaning of that name. I get on the phone. He spoke with me. It's hard to get a hold of doctors. And I said, Dr. Fink, I don't mean to be a fink, but your patient, she's going to commit suicide. She has a plan, and she has access to the plan, and she's going to do it. He must have been a very kind person, because he kept on talking to me.
I mean, he didn't hang up on you.
No, and he didn't say, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Why are you slamming my name? Anything like that.
And
I met up with the patient again in the next week, and she said, hey. But she was kind of tongue-in-cheek. She said, I heard you called my doctor. And I thought, yeah, and you're alive today, and you can tell me. I heard you call my doctor.
And was she feeling some relief?
I think so. I think she was, it's starting.
Well, you know, one of the things there is she probably didn't feel listened to, and you listened, and then because of your phone call, her doctor listened.
Right.
And even if the actual physical person, you know, whatever the thing is that was going on was still there, some of those signals from the brain that were so aggravating turned off by being listened to. And that is one of the things that can reduce pain, which people discount completely. If people are heard, they feel calmer. When you feel calmer, your brain calms down. You get fewer pain signals.
Right. All those alarm signals kind of quell down.
It's a great story.
Uh-huh. It's one of the silliest stories. So what can we do about this big chronic pain?
Except it isn't silly when people are in that much distress that they consider suicide as the answer. Of course, it's not the answer.
No. No, there are better, certainly, other answers. I think you're talking about this too, Anne. Keep some core thoughts going here if you have chronic pain, that even though I'm hurting, it doesn't actually mean I'm damaging tissue. Keep that going. Keep that thought going.
That's true. Frequently, people will say, well, I don't use it. I had a person who had a five-year, came to us 5 years after having a lifting injury at work. Had not been able to do anything physical for 5 years, anything at all, and of course hadn't been encouraged to do anything. And as soon as her pain level started dropping, which was pretty much right away, she started doing, and then by doing she was able to do more and more. And
yes.
Now it's been, it hasn't been a straight line. It's been up and down, but she is pretty functional. She's been clamming. She's back to work.
Joyful things.
After 5 years.
Joyful things.
Yeah, she has a life again. She's able to do gardening. She's able to do things that she couldn't do for all those years. And
really,
she's not perfect, but she's got function again.
Yes, and joy. And refueling things.
Right.
There's a cute little saying there, and I think you're talking about it. Motion is lotion.
Is lotion?
Motion is lotion. Joints, muscles, tendons, they're meant to move.
Absolutely.
Move them. Motion is lotion.
Yeah.
Just a cute little thing there.
Yeah, well, when I'm trying to encourage people to move, one of the things that I'll say is, only exercise the joints that you want to use in 5 years.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous, but you think about, well, what joint would you not like? Like, I would like to have all my joints functional. My neck, my shoulder, my hips, my back, my feet, my ankles, my knees. Oh, I guess I better use them.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Another really good core thought is, hey, listen, this is my pain. I'm the owner of this pain, and I have the power to get rid of it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so often we want to give the power to someone else.
That's dangerous.
Doctor, help, fix.
That's dangerous.
It is.
It is prudent, though, to get a medical exam just to figure out if there's something undetected. Get that all straightened out with your preference of medical providers.
I just read a story of a longtime chiropractic patient going to the chiropractor, and I don't know where it was, somewhere in the United States, and saying, I've got this upper lumbar pain. You know, I've had it before. I haven't been in it a while. Oh, and by the way, would you please adjust me? And by the way, I have had metastatic kidney disease. And the chiropractor went, no, I won't adjust you. You have to have an MRI. And immediately called his doctor and oncologist. They coordinated. And he actually had a pathological fracture of the area that he was hurting that would have been awful to adjust. And, you know, he went, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And the guy kept pressing him, please. And, of course, what do doctors want to do? They want to please their patients. They want to do what they want. But the doctor was firm. He just felt uncomfortable that this would be the wrong thing to do. And certainly it was the wrong thing to do. That pain was telling him that he was toast.
In trouble.
Yes.
So
right. Not a candidate for chiropractic care.
Good action there.
Right. And so you can't, the pain doesn't necessarily mean what it used to mean or what you think it means. So definitely having an exam is important. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more of different aspects of pain, how to read the signals, and what you might do about it. You are listening to Your Health. My guest is Blair Cocking. She's an occupational therapist and certified hand specialist at Astoria Physical Therapy. And we'll be right back.
Quiero que me perdones.
Oh, somebody's calling. We're back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Blair Cocking. She is an occupational therapist and certified hand specialist at SRA Physical Therapy. And we're talking about pain, new pain, old pain, pain you can't deal with, and pain that's easy to deal with.
And I just am underscoring that book, Explain Pain, by David Butler. He's an educator, and he takes really good painstaking ability to educate people about the mechanics of pain. Nice graphics. Here's the bad part. It's $70.
Oh.
So I told a patient to get it, and he said, ouch, it's $70.
I wonder if there's an e-version.
Maybe so.
There may be an e-version, which would be less, or one could look for it as a used copy. Is it a newly published book?
I think so. Something like, not that bad, though, like 2003.
Oh, okay. So it could be an e-book. Also, it could be a used book. So there are options. And another thing would be, maybe you could find it at the library. And if it's not there, you could probably ask them to get it.
Oh, let's all ask.
Right, right. Now, there are many books on pain, and there's probably a section in Powell's that's just
a floor.
A floor, yeah, on pain.
The pain room.
There are many books. Everybody, just like on diet, everybody wants to put in their 2 cents of what they figured out. And, you know, of course, what do people go to the doctor with? I mean, they either have an infection, a stomach ache, or some kind of pain.
And the root of all that is pain, yeah. So let's think some more. What can we do about these troubles of pain? And one very positive thing to do is get educated about it. What is going on? And two, if you seek out somebody to help you with this pain, never think of them as having the answer. The answer is within us. And you're going to interview this provider, and you're going to ask questions, and you're going to ask more questions, and you're going to make sure those questions are answered, and the answer makes sense
dismissed.
To you. And mm-hmm. makes sense to you in your language.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to make concrete goals that you establish with that provider.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to sleep for 4 hours without interruption. Very humble request.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of times people don't really think about sleep and the importance of sleep, but you cannot heal if you don't sleep.
Sleep. Big.
Yeah. All right. We had two people with questions. No, they're right up your alley. At least the first one is. We have someone who called about carpal tunnel syndrome and hand pain. And there's not really a question, but I guess just
Some information on that.
I mean, people who use their arms a lot, whether they're a pipe fitter, logger, fisherman, pianist, typist, keyboarder, checker.
Oh, yeah.
All can have chronic hand pain, numbness, forearm, whatever, shoulder, related to their work or related to too much on the computer at night.
Yeah, I'm surprised more people don't have something like the cell phone. That's a different nerve. That's the ulnar nerve. But I can't believe that more people aren't showing up with inflammation there.
So many people are using Bluetooth. Maybe that's saving them. Then the phone can be in the pocket, and Bluetooth, they have another problem with radiation going into their head. But certainly people do have hand, arm, pain,
sure.
numbness.
And carpal tunnel.
And
yeah.
it's certainly a treatable problem.
Oh,
it's
sure.
easy.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it may not be easy, but it is treatable. Sometimes it's easy.
Doable.
Right.
I know you're getting this notion that I'm a David Butler file, but I am. And in 1991, he wrote a landmark book called Mobilizing the Nervous System, and it changed how occupational therapists and physical therapists work. And we started doing these things called nerve glides. This is the appropriate thing to do with carpal tunnel. Get that nerve gliding through that tunnel so it's not
stuck
in irritation. Uh-huh. Nice standout thing to do, nerve glides.
Uh-huh.
Get a splint that you can wear at night, preferably to the middle, the splint going from the mid forearm to the middle of your digits, and that rests that the flexors so they can't push on that median nerve, which is the the famous nerve of the carpal tunnel and lets that nerve rest while you're sleeping, mm-hmm. so you won't get tingling, inflammation, and numbness.
And frequently people get relief from wearing a splint.
Particularly at night.
Right. And one of the things that I think of is inflammation from the elbow into the hand related to this. And I think you definitely for home care need to be putting ice. And people will like, well, where do I put ice? Well, start with where it hurts and then work up to the ends of those muscles, which is up at the elbow, and the other end down in the hand.
Uh-huh.
And reduce that inflammation. I mean, I find the ultrasound, the FDA has within the last year approved laser therapy for low-level, medium-level laser therapy for the treatment of carpal tunnel. There's all kinds of things that can be done. That all the goal, reduce inflammation, reduce the pain, get the glide.
and find what fits for you.
Right. Okay. Anything else you want to say about carpal tunnel?
Well, just modify how you do things. They always say that if you have a straight wrist with what you're doing, like repetitive things you're doing, you're in good business.
Right. If you're at your computer and your wrist is completely cocked back because it's at a funny angle.
Or to the side.
Right. That's going to create more problems.
Problems. Sure.
Okay. Then we had a nurse talking about reminding people that just taking painkillers to mask the symptoms, they may be covering up something significant.
Right.
Well, if you have chronic pain, you need to figure out why, and you need to see if there's a way to deal with it. And I find it very frustrating. Well, I don't. Patients find it very frustrating when they're told, well, just get used to it. And the way to get used to it is to just take daily painkillers. That doesn't cut it to me. I'm very unsatisfied when somebody tells me that, and I take it as a challenge. Why do you have this pain? What could we do to alleviate it? What would make it go away? And sometimes it's as simple as you have to start using that joint again.
Yeah, and a really nice thing that I always reach to and tell people to reach to is go to the pool. The buoyancy of the water makes your motion less resistive and mm-hmm. easier to move. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous way of exercising.
Right. And people think that because they can get painkillers like anti-inflammatories over the counter, you can buy them anywhere, that they must be safe. They were never designed for daily use. So when you buy the 500 count one, that should give you pause that you need to figure out why are you needing the biggest bottle ever? You have a problem that needs addressing, not just covering up. It's great to get through a night, but if it's every night.
I think you deserve to live better, too. That's a real low level of living.
Good point. Yeah, it's low on the Maslow. You're surviving.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You deserve better. More joy.
Yeah.
So we think of motion as lotion. We think of trying to be as positive as we can as we start to regain motion. And you might think of each day just move a little bit more. And go at it gradually. No big leaps.
Well, right. You don't start a whole new program full bore like you did when you were in high school.
And you know what's troubling is the persistence of that whole thing of no pain, no gain. Why does that still persist? And it's so indelible.
Not a good plan if you're already in pain.
Yeah,
although working. When you start to use something you haven't used in a while, it will hurt, but that's probably different. If you're working within limits,
yeah,
that's different than I'm going to go out and I'm going to lift the heaviest weight I can lift one time.
And I don't care if it hurts because I have to have no pain, no gain, whatever. Uh-huh. You know what's interesting? As personality profiles, perfectionistic people have great trouble letting that go. It's almost like they cannot do it.
Uh-huh.
They get stuck with that.
Yeah. Well, I see teenage boys who really have a hard time with that. They, even when they're hurting and they have an injury and I tell them, you need to back off from your workouts, they have a cow about that. They do not want to back off.
They're wed to it. Yeah, that's difficult for them in a whole different.
And as soon as they start to get even the smallest a bit better, I'm at full bore again. No, remember, that's how you hurt it to begin with.
On the other end of the perspective, if you do start getting some, if you overdo for the other person, if you do overdo and you start to hurt a little bit, don't have a meltdown. Just forgive yourself. You know, I just overdid. I won't do it again. I'll think of it as feedback.
Well, I probably will do it again. But, I mean, that's the nature, because you don't know that you've overdone it until you're at the end of having done it. I mean, it may take hours for it to inflame enough that you get the signal. You know, you might not know immediately.
Yeah.
And so then you go, oh, right, what was it I did when that's, oh, right, I was, that was the 50th thing that I lifted up into the back of the truck at that funny angle.
So do give it thought, and think of it as feedback, and think of modifying how you're going to do
right.
that.
Right, maybe we'll do a little bit, take a break, maybe put some ice on, come back later in the day. Yeah, do we have to do it all right now?
No.
We have to load the whole cord of wood? No.
Seems kind of American, doesn't it?
Get that job done right away.
Yes.
No, we have more time.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, in reality, you have your whole life.
Right, right. So it's a nice gradual recovery curve. Go for that one.
Yeah.
And try and think as positively as possible. And you can even do some virtual things, like people are hurting and they'll get into a fret like, this is going to be with me for the rest of my life.
And they may have been told that.
Yes. So I start saying, you know, try and be equal fiddle. Try and think of using that hand to stroke your granddaughter's hair, and it doesn't hurt. Think positively here.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of virtual thinking.
You know, I find with chronic pain, if I can get people to buy into something that they think is silly to begin with, which is just to say to themselves, even if they don't believe it, and they don't believe it by this point because they've had their problem for so many years, I'm getting better. I'm better every day. I'm able to do more. Just give themselves positive feedback. It doesn't matter whether they believe it or not, because that is calming to the brain. The brain doesn't know the difference between what you tell it and what is. So put a different message in. Instead of, I hurt, I hurt, I hurt, I'm better. I feel better.
Spend some time doing that. Sure.
It makes a difference with pain.
And it also, there again, it's engaging those electrical chemicals in the brain to send out a different message.
Mm-hmm.
And new things are forming.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Other management ideas, definitely educate yourself about this pain and what are the mechanics of it. Definitely go for pain-free movement. But full resources. Think of maybe it's a time of faith. Maybe mediation, relaxation, medication, diet. Here's my strong card. Pool. Go to the pool.
Well, we're both pool nuts.
Yeah.
We love the pool.
Yeah.
I see think Anne, the pool has saved my life. Yeah.
I see Anne in lane A and I'm in lane B and we talk.
Yeah. Well, I found swimming to be very, very healing, and I know lots of people who are. Yeah.
And what you just spoke of is, I'm feeling better every day. Every day I can do a tiny bit more. That's really cognitive therapy. Get that going, too.
Right, right. And I guess I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that we both, in our practices, deal with, I mean, that's why people come to both of us. They come to therapists, they come to chiropractors for management of pain, to get rid of pain. And I think we're all pretty good at it. You know, we help people strategize. We do stuff that can help you, and you have to do stuff on your own. It's not just a top-down.
Right,
you have to be, the patient has to be involved with the process, because it's your body. You're only with us for a short amount of time. You've got the other 23 and a half hours of the day to deal with it.
So they have to do the heavy lifting. We can only direct.
That's it.
They have to pull it off.
That's it. Thank you so much, Blair.
Oh, my goodness. Always a pleasure. Really. Thank you.
You're welcome. Contact information.
Let's see. Astoria Physical Therapy. The phone number is 503-325-7711.
Great. Thank you. My guest is Blair Cocking. She's an occupational therapist and a certified hand specialist. I'm Ann Goldine.